Hi, Vince Bear speaking. I hope none of you are old enough to remember me playing, but you're listening to the 72 show. I hope you enjoy it. Thoroughly enjoyable program. Very informative.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of the 72 show. We've reached the end of the season, so we're going to review the season and also review this week's playoffs. I'm joined this week by Nick Davey.
Yep, good evening.
You all right,
so
Nick?
It was the last ever episode. Just the last episode of the season.
Last episode of the season, yeah, but, you know, yeah.
Especially as Brighton sadly stayed down and not going anywhere.
I guess we'll start off with the championship playoffs then. Obviously Brighton weren't in the final, but Hull and Sheffield Wednesday were. And a good win for Hull, I suppose. Great win for them. Diame getting the winner and man of the match.
He was very good. I think Hull were always going to be slight favourites given the difference in budgets, different players, and different in the actual players. I think, given the experience I've got of playing at Wembley, I think Hull were always going to be favourites. And to be fair to them, they were very professional, and you have to say there's probably a deserved win. Sheffield Wednesday weren't bad, but I think on the day Hull raised their game a bit more. And had it not been for some exceptional goalkeeping from Kieran Westwood, it could have actually been a bit more than 1-0, to be honest with you.
It's a huge achievement, though, for Sheffield Wednesday to reach the playoff final. And, you know, it's not something we'd have predicted.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not to be sour or bitter about the first final. Obviously, they've had an incredible amount of luck in the semi-finals. But to be fair to them, over the whole of the season, them coming sixth was an outstanding achievement. I think anyone at the start of the season for them and Brighton, to be fair, would have predicted them to be where they are. And obviously, with a new manager, new to the English football, they've done a fantastic this season, and I think again next year they can keep hold of their sort of star players like Forestieri, Zhao, yeah, and a few others. I think they'll be right there again next season. So losing the playoff final has been a fantastic season for them, regardless, and so I think they'll be up there again next season. But yeah, no, with Steve Bruce and Hull, I mean, they've got another crack at the Premier League.
Not sure if Steve Bruce is staying, though.
Yeah, I saw the talk. I mean, I think he should stay. I mean, he's experienced as the club. He's got them back up. I think he 100% deserves to stay at the club. He's been there for a while. I think it'll be very harsh on him to go. Had he not got them promoted, I could understand him leaving. But I think the fact he's got them back up, I think he deserves to stay. I think he'll know where he went wrong last. I think it was obvious when they went down a few years ago, it was just simply because of not scoring enough goals. The amount of times they drew 0-0 at home, I think, cost them in the end. So I think they'll certainly address that, and I think they will. And I think hopefully Steve can strengthen their new and they try and get them all right for next season.
I agree. It'd be ridiculous if he was sacked. I was more thinking he might end up walking rather than, you know.
If he fancies a new task, then that'll be a bit different. If he decides that the job's not for him anymore, he's been there, he's taking them and wants to leave on a high note or get them back to the Premier League, and he thinks it's someone else to who could do a better job for them, then that's fair enough. But I think he should stick it out, and I think he'd say they can learn from their previous mistakes, and I think he could build a very good reputation at home.
Talking about the general promotion race, it went on all season. We were talking about, you know, it was the top four at one point with Hull and Brighton joining Middlesbrough, Burnley. It was a great race all the way through the season. And, you know, I guess it's a good thing that Hull went up rather than, say, Sheffield Wednesday or Derby, that three of those four. I know it's unlucky for Brighton, but...
Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday finished 15 points below us and we only missed out by 2 goals. So we're obviously the unluckiest one. I think with Hull and Derby, I think they were more disappointed to be in the playoffs. Like, I suppose you could say like ourselves, but we're a bit more different given the fact that we weren't predicted to be here. Like, Derby especially, I mean, I think that in my opinion, they've been the biggest letdown of the championship this season. And I don't mean to annoy you by saying that.
No, it's true. I agree.
Given the expectations, I mean, looking at that midfield, I mean, that midfield is just ridiculous. I mean, there is 6 players there who could just walk into any championship team blindfolded without question. I mean, there's 6 amazing centre midfielders I'd love to pinch my, even one of them, just to be honest. And it's just ridiculous how they and even the strike force as well, when they've got strikers that left, right and centre, Russell, Ben, Martin, Camara, Blackman. It's just ridiculous. As I say, I mean, I've probably forgotten some. So I think, with them, they've definitely been the biggest letdown this season, becoming fifth in the league, when I think they'll predict to win the whole thing or come second. But with Hull, yeah, they've just been very consistent throughout. Now, they're a dodgy patch, which sort of cost them the race in the automatics, but they sort of kept very consistent and still getting wins here and there and getting the home advantage. And in the end, they were very professional in the playoffs.
Just want to come back to Derby. Nigel Pearson's been named the manager. I think that's a really good appointment for them. And he could be the guy to finally get them out of the championship.
I think that's the best appointment we've seen so far out of all the clubs and all the signs and everything this season. I think that's a fantastic appointment by. I think that's a fantastic appointment by the club. So Pearson, he knows the championship with Leicester. He's done a fantastic job with Leicester. And, as I say, I think that's an exceptional appointment. I think with the squad, if he can keep that squad together with Derby, with a few tweaks, maybe get rid of a few personnel, maybe some of the dead wood, so to speak. With a couple of new faces, I think they'll be fine for next season.
The thing is, it's three seasons now where there's been not got promotion, and it's don't want to be fine next season. It's, you know, wanting to finally go up. It's frustrating. Chris Powell's been named as assistant. Darren Wassell's going back to the academy where he was before he became the Derby manager. So hopefully a better season next year.
Well, Chris Powell is your assistant's fantastic as well. I mean, so I think with Derby, that's all in place. Really, I think. So you've got sort of Chris Powell. It was sort of struck me as a very calm manager with Pearson, a bit of the opposite in a good way. So that could work really well. So the manager who's really gets the players buzzing, and then obviously you've got Chris Powell, your calming coach, who also knows football very well. So I think he's always been very solid wherever he's gone, especially he's a very good defender, and he always seems to get his side set up defensively. And you can have Pearson with that thing. I think Derby are a very tough team to beat next season.
What about Brighton? What do you think next season? Are you hopeful of getting playoffs again or winning?
I think obviously a fantastic appointment with Chris Hughton on a 4-year deal, already off to a fantastic start. They've obviously changed a few players already. Well, I think that's caught us by surprise, the players we actually released, which especially releasing Greer, which has really caught the eye. I mean, they might really invest in a bit more money in the squad this season. One thing, no one seems too disheartened by us. Obviously, we're very disappointed, but I think it was. Really, I think everyone. I mean, I left the Amex after that Sheffield game deflated yesterday. We hadn't gone up, but I just really felt more sorry for the players because they have been absolutely outstanding this season. They've given me, in my opinion, my favourite ever season supporting the club, apart from maybe the League One winning year. We've been outstanding this season, and as I said, the only players people I feel sorry for are the players in Hughton because they fully deserve to be a Premier League club. How well they've done. I think getting Hughton on that 4-year deal was the perfect move. And now I say it's just a case of a few light replacements. I think definitely up front they need to. Obviously, there's more going, and we also know about United that have only got Hemed and Baldock. I think if we can get a couple of strikers in who really know where the goal is, we should be fine for next season if we can, get the bank up front. Is the main cause of concern for next season. Get that sorted out, then I think we'll be all right. And obviously, mainly keeping older players as well. Talks with Stevens and Dunk maybe going, very key players this season, especially Stevens. Getting them tied on would be a very important move.
Okay, another club who had a good season, or a good end to the season at least, Rotherham. Well, it was basically from when Neil Warnock took over, it all just went exceptionally well after that, and the club stayed up, they were safe, and yeah, he's left the club now, and it looks like, what's his name? Alan Stubbs is coming in from Hibernian.
Yeah, I think that'd be a very good appointment. I mean, he's done a fantastic job at Hibernian, obviously won the Scottish Cup as well. I think if they can get him in, that'd be a great appointment. Obviously, we've seen some Scottish managers like Neil Lennon coming over from, and then find it quite difficult. So obviously, it's not going to be all it will be a tough job for Anna Stubbs. Don't forget, Rotherham. What they will, obviously don't forget, there's no secret they've got one of the worst budgets in that league.
Yeah.
They can't go and just splash the cash on players that they'd like to maybe like other teams at the top would can get. So yes, it will be a tough job, but it's also a great chance for Anna Stubbs to really prove himself as a manager.
What about Warnock? He's left Rotherham. He says he wants he didn't want the Rotherham job because they needed someone who's going to stay for a few years. But it seems like he wants another job, maybe one more year doing something.
Well, since the year this, Neil Warnock was giving me my last job. But no, I think he's proven at Rotherham he's still got fire in the tank that he can still win games. And I think he'll certainly want to hold out for it. I think it's obvious he wants to have one more big final hurrah really with a club, whoever that'll be, I don't know. He's obviously made the decision. I think if they can get the Rotherham so they can get moved forward with a younger manager, then it could work.
Alright, we'll mention Neil Lennon. He's had a pretty impossible job all season at Bolton as well. It's been a miserable season, finishing bottom of the league, 30 points, just 5 wins all season. It's terrible. I don't think it's something you can really blame the manager for, though. I think it's just he had a pretty impossible job.
I think it was the possible job, and I think relegation was always going to be on the cards, to be fair. So then with just the ongoing off the pitch problems, as I said, they haven't named a new manager, have they yet?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
They need to get the manager appointment correct, and then I think obviously. What their finances are like, they could just try and do a Wigan or Millwall and stuff, get rid of your experienced players who are on the high wages, get them off the books, and then start bringing in sort of players who know League One quite well, and some youngsters in.
Well, 20 players have gone from Bolton, including the mighty Emil Heskey. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of players like that, really. Heskey, very experienced players who aren't really going to. Aren't going to be around forever. They've done the right thing. They were releasing sort of those players, and that's just a case of finding sort of your experienced League One players and, say, bedding the youngsters in and sort of getting that settled side for next season.
Yeah. Another club who had a pretty bad season were Leeds, I suppose. At least they're still in the Championship, though. Obviously, with Cellino still there, it's not like. I don't think things are going to improve anytime soon.
It's just that I think that club's just really beyond the Jeremy Evans did a great job, in my opinion, there. But I think Steve Keane might be going in. Former Blackburn manager. The club is just, as I say, it's just not going to get anywhere. Whoever wants to go to the club, they'll just be under pressure from the day one. I mean, the talk is of Steve Keane going there. That would just be a comedy run in itself, really, won't it? So no disrespect, Steve, he didn't do very well at Blackburn. No. I mean, that just happened. That was just 1 month, 2 months for it, anyway. So I just feel sorry for Leeds already this season. That it happens already next season's probably going to be like another write-off. So I think for the supporters, so it was sort of heading the right way with Evans, but.
Well, that's what I thought, because when Uwe Rosler left in, I think it was October, the club were way down, 18th. They were looking like, relegation was a serious possibility, and they improved to a mid-table finish, and I thought, I think it's pretty harsh that Steve Evans has been sacked.
I think it's very harsh, and, as I say, I think whoever goes in will find it hard to now have done a job, especially with the season, so it's just going to be... It's going to be one disaster after another, I think, again, next season.
Well, Cellino, as I say, he's had all that tax evasion. He came out the other day and he was saying how much he regrets buying the club, and if he could find the right owner, then he'd get rid.
That's really what you want to hear, isn't it, if you're a Leeds supporter. So as I say, I just feel sorry for the Leeds supporters the most, and as soon as he's at the football club, then maybe they can start moving forward and get back.
Yeah,
to where they belong in the big time, but until Cellino's gone, there's not a cat in hell's chance of that happening. And as I say, I mean, it's just one disaster really after another. As I say, this talk of Keane is going in there, I think already next season's already a write-off, in my opinion. So it's the supporters I feel sorry for.
There's another sort of club where it's a similar thing with Reading. Because they've sacked Brian McDermott, who fans generally, from what I was reading around a bit, fans generally seem to disagree with that and think that he should have stayed. And I know they're not happy with the tie owners at Reading.
Yeah, he's done very well Reading first time round. I think Reading started there. They started off very well, Reading, and then they sort of dipped away. Brian came in at sort of the wrong time, really. I mean, when the club was sort of heading towards a mid-table finish. But yeah, no, I found it a very strange tackle. It wasn't like he got the club relegated or anything. It's pretty difficult to get players motivated when they're sort of locked in that mid-table sort of scene. So it's I'm found that a bit of a strange one as well. So I think he's a very good manager at this level. So I'm a bit surprised.
Well, yeah, it looks bad, but they finished 17th. But then, if I also were to say they lost 6 of their last 7 games, the other one a draw, then it just shows that the players just stopped caring towards the end, and you know they could have quite easily been close to the playoffs or something. It's not like it was a disgraceful season or anything like that. I don't know. I think it's harsh.
No, I agree.
It looks like they're currently speaking to a guy, Milinko Pantic. Not anyone I'd heard of, admittedly. He previously coached Atletico Madrid reserves, and he coached in Azerbaijan at Baku. So, yeah, hardly the most glittering CV. But, yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Right, so impossible to say, I think, whether he is the man or not. who else is there? There's QPR as well, QPR. Clint Hill, Rob Green have left the club, got rid of a few of the high wages. They've got a pretty massive squad still, though. A lot of players on high wages there.
I think they're trying to get rid of a few more players over the summer, maybe either sort of mutual consent or just general selling. But I think with QPR it'll be I think under Hasselbaink they should do all right next season. I think they'll do better than this season. I think Jimmy hopefully have the freedom to get the players and he wants to get it. So I think they'll be all right next season.
Yeah, I could see them getting a playoffs or something. They were 12th this season. But yeah, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink, great manager. And yeah, I could see them getting playoffs next season.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. One final club I want to mention is Cardiff as well. Russell Slade's now the director of football with coach Paul Trollope's been made promoted up to manager as well. They're targeting the playoffs next season. I guess it was a shock. Sorry, go
on. Very strange, yeah. But Slade's quite young. I mean, I didn't really think he'd want to that sort of move up. So I find that very strange. So I think
I guess he wants to try something new. I don't know. It is a weird one.
But no, fair enough if he wants to move up. But yeah, then Paul Trollope, he did pretty well at Bristol Rovers a few years ago. I mean, he hasn't managed for quite a while, but it could work. So I'm just saying, then it'll time will tell. But so if he knows the club already, it's a good start. So
yeah,
if Slade sort of helping him out, it could easily work if everyone's happy.
I guess it's been a generally good season for them. Maybe a bit unlucky to miss out on the playoffs. I'm sure they'll be happy with what happened this season. Is there anything else in the Championship you'd like? Any other clubs or anything you'd want to mention?
I think you've mentioned all the. Mention all the big ones there.
Joey Barton has left Burnley. He's gone to Rangers. He's confirmed a deal there, which turns to be a bit of a loss to them next season in the Premier League. But
yeah,
personally, I think
it's outstanding for Burnley this season, and it's a massive loss for them. Who we're getting as a replacement Burnley for that midfield role. I mean, there's talk of Dale Stevens and Fuss going there, which scares Tim and Davis out of me. I think it's a good move for him. I think he'll do well at Rangers, but it'd be interesting to see who they'll get in.
I think for him personally, I can see it going really well for him at Rangers. I can see him being loved by the Rangers fans and in Scotland generally. Yeah. I think it's a great move for him personally.
I think him he sort of fits all the bills for him in the Old Firm derby.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll move on to League One. We'll start with the playoff final. 3-1 win for Barnsley against Millwall. And it's a pretty amazing turnaround for Barnsley when you consider in December they were bottom of League One and now they've been promoted.
Yeah, I mean, every year you do in one of the leagues, you do get a team that sort of is flirting with the relegations on around Christmas. They go on some mental run at it and then playoffs. It's every year that fail. There's always one of these teams. And this year Barnsley have actually gone all the way completely. I mean, they've been exceptional, haven't they? I mean, it was sort of with Lee Johnson going, it was all sort of looking like they were going to stay in the Championship, League One. But no, I mean, they done really well, and it's full credit to Paul Heckenbottom, who's come in and sort of kept the system going. And the players, also they played really well on Sunday against Mill, and that strike from Adam Hamill was an absolute beauty.
Yeah. Well, when you consider they were only in the playoffs on goal difference as well, it's almost the opposite the opposite of Brighton, really, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. They've got obviously a lot of players on loan, so I don't know what the deal will be then for next season. But I think Paul Heckenbottom, if he can get to sit down with the board, discuss where the club's going, get some players in, they'll be interested in what they can do in the championship next season. And I think with a bit of momentum, they could be absolutely fine. They could have a sort of good mid-table finish.
Well, presumably Paul Heckenbottom will stay at the club. It's he's officially only the interim manager. You know, if he's not there, there'll be riots in Barnsley.
I don't know if the job is just to the end of the season or not, but I think he deserves it. He's done a good job, and hopefully, the club can decide what they want.
He won the Johnson's Paint Trophy as well, didn't he?
Yeah. They seem to love Wembley.
Yeah. The other teams going up from League One up to the Championship, Wigan and Burton both. Probably, I think it's hard to argue that they're probably the best two teams in the division deserve to go up, the pair of them.
They've both been very consistent, haven't they, all season? I think Burton said it times and times again of how fantastic the club's run, and I think they've been up there right from the kickoff. They had a change of personnel. Jimmy Bordesma leaving. They brought in Nigel Clough, who knows the club well, and he sort of got them promoted into the Championship, so he knows the Championship as well. So I think that club's, it's going to be fighting there, be fine for next season. I think obviously they've got a very low budget, yeah. But if Nigel can sort of get the players in he wants to get in, I think they'll be fine in survival.
Be great to see
Burton. We're going to be surprised they're back really at the top end of the season next year. I mean, they're back there, they had a fantastic League One season. I mean, they've got a very good squad there. They can even add to that. I think you always get a team from League One that has a very good momentum. Like we've seen at Brentford and Brighton in recent years. I think Southampton as well. I think they'll be fine for next season. Wigan under Say Caldwell seems to have done a fantastic job there.
Yeah, he has. Yeah.
I think Will Grigg's on fire. So
I was just going to say that.
I think they'll be. I think they can get a lot of good players in.
25 goals for him this season. He's been amazing all season for them.
But he's been absolutely on fire, and defence has been terrified everywhere. And so I think he'll continue that in the Euros. I think they'll be fine.
The other team who were chasing down a Burton Walsall, they were maybe unlucky not to go up or do more in the playoffs. I guess they disappointed.
Yes, it was a shame really. I mean, they've had a lot of manager change this season, which you could argue has eventually cost them. Third in the league, they haven't gone up. But I think next season, one thing is consistent, especially at the top. I mean, they can keep hold of a lot of players. They can go again next season. I think likewise for Mill and Bradford. Mill have got a very young team there. They'll hopefully learn from this. Neil Harris done a fantastic job there, and with Bradford, Phil Parkinson as well. I think them three will all go again fine for next season. So a few changes, and they'll be right up there.
Well, with Bradford, they had a really strong season as well. They're fifth in the league, but their goals record is pretty poor, really, when you consider only 55 goals. I think all the teams which scored less were relegated. Sorry?
They won a lot of games 1-0, so I think get sort of addressed that by getting maybe some strike force in, getting new strikers in.
Steve Davis, their main striker this season, has been released, I know that. So yeah, they definitely need a striker or two bringing in. Another club, Coventry. It's a shame Matty's not here tonight to talk about them, but they had a bright season to start with, but they end up finishing 5 points away from the playoffs.
They sort of went off the board after Christmas, didn't they, really? I think that's, again, what's eventually cost them, because they finished with a few wins, I think. So 5 points missing out on it. As I said, it's another sort of, in a way, a failed season for Coventry. So they've got that, which Matt has mentioned before, that unwelcome record of not finishing in the top six for a good, I think it's 45 years.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Yeah, something like that.
It's not a welcome record to have. But I think they'll keep hold of Mowbray. And again, I think they'll go again for next season as well.
Well, that's the thing, Mowbray, the club are saying he's going to stay, but there's been talk about him maybe getting approached by Rotherham or someone and leaving.
One club I would like to talk about, League One, is I said it about Derby being the biggest underachievers in the Championship. I think my biggest underachievers in League One are Sheffield United, 11th spot finish, Atkins. It's been a terrible season for them. They've not been good enough. They're a massive club. They're favourites to win the league, and they've come 11th, which in my opinion is pretty disgraceful.
Yeah, no, I agree. You'd think next season, because Chris Wilder's coming in, it'll be they've got a good chance of going up.
But they've got a fantastic point there, Chris Wilder, because sort of a bit different to Atkins. They've sort of had someone who's done really well in success in the Championship and even the Premiership. They've gone the opposite way. Someone who's done really well in non-league and in League Two. So it could be better, but I think it's a great appointment, and hopefully the Blades can go on the way back, because they're a massive club, fantastic supporters, and they can get it right on the pitch, and they should be fine for the next season. So it's going to be a tough league one. There's some good signs in it.
Well, you consider the sides which are going down from the Championship, you know, Bolton. Really? I'm expecting a resurgence from Bolton, you know, and then...
you got Bolton, you've got Charlton as well. MK Dons have sort of kept a lot of that League One side that came originally. And obviously then you have your Walsall, Millwall, Bradford who will go again. We mentioned sort of Sheffield United, Coventry missing out, Stumport finished season real well. Peterborough and Swindon, they want to come back stronger as well. So I think you're looking at a very tough League One next year.
Yeah. Let's talk about a club that's not in League One, Crewe, who've had a pretty miserable season. They were spent pretty much all of it in the relegation zone, but finished bottom. But the club has shown faith with Steve Davis, who's been the manager for the last 5 years. There's been a lot of fan protests over the years, but
it's a good decision. I mean, he knows the club inside out. So Crewe, we know it's no secret. They're not splashed with cash. They can't go and afford to go spend money on a new striker or anything like that. So I think the crew has done well to find a player through their academy. And if they can do that, maybe next season they'll find the level at League Two and have a much better season than they've had this year. I hope they do, because it's not going to see any club struggle about them. But if they go about their business the correct way, and so they can sort of get a solid 11 together, they can be alright for next year. They can find these players for their academy still, and they do their business. I mean, they've been a very yo-yo club from League One to League Two.
Yeah.
But they can get it. They can keep the faith. They won't change too much personnel at the top. They should be okay for next season.
Yeah. One player as well who won't be playing in League One, unfortunately, next season, Joe Cole, who's off to America.
Yes. obviously, he's going to the second tier in America, but I think it's fair enough. Joe Cole, I mean, he's still got the ability, certainly, to play in America. It's just giving one final payday, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Blame players.
That's it. But yeah, alright, we'll move on to League Two then, where, as we mentioned, Crewe will be next year. It was Wimbledon v Plymouth Argyle in the final. Wimbledon winning 2-0 with Akin Fenwa scoring that late penalty to secure the win.
And he's also now unemployed.
Yeah, I saw that. He was told the week before and then revealed it after, and he's told the Premier League managers to WhatsApp him if they need him. So yeah, maybe see him in the Premier League next season.
I think it's I'm surprised they said it either works. I think he's clearly a good enough player for League Two. But if he can find a new club, I think there'll be a lot of clubs in League Two after his signature, because he's obviously a very bubbly lad. He's very strong, no doubt. So I think he won't be too difficult to find a new club. Well, for Wimbledon though, I mean, fantastic achievement coming up from the Southern Combinations League. All the way up now to League One. The rise has been phenomenal, and I think it's just rewards for the supporters who have not jumped on the stupid MK Dons bandwagon. And they've shown a complete loyalty to their football club to write new history from their days in the Southern Cup right up to League One. So I think it's just complete rewards to the supporters for being so loyal. And then now they're in League One, and hopefully next year they can they'll set up a lot of neutrals, they can beat MK Dons.
That'll be a great game to watch. Great atmosphere.
Fantastic, yeah. I mean, I've started watching the game in the FA Cup a few years ago, which was a fantastic game. I think MK Dons won 2-1. Wimbledon scored. I mean, the behind the goal was pandemonium. Really, when I think it's Jack Minson and stuff went in, and the fans were ballistic. I mean, they're running on the pitch and everything. It was it was good. I mean, they weren't doing it in a violent way. I mean, I think it was the sheer just delight of scoring against MK Dons. I mean, no one was hurt and they were quick to get back off the pitch. It just showed how much it meant to the supporters, and just a shame they went and lost it in the last minute that day. But I think, yeah, next year it'll be a fantastic game.
Yeah. Just want to mention Northampton. Obviously, they were top of the league pretty much the whole season, had an incredible season. You know, 99 points, I think they ended up. Yeah, 99 points they ended up on. And, you know, how many superlatives can you give to say how great that season was?
Well, it was fantastic. And I think with how well they've done in the with Chris Wilder going, I think a lot of managers will raise their eyebrows at that job. And they should get some good names looking at that job. I mean, I know they've had a few off the field problems, but if they can keep that group of players, if the new manager can keep that group of players together, hopefully they can have a good go in League One as well.
Yeah, it was Port Vale boss. It was Rob Page, wasn't it? Who was? I know he was linked. I don't know. I thought he was given the job, wasn't he?
Oh, if he is, then yeah. I mean, Rob Page done a good job at Port Vale. I mean, they're unlucky to miss out on the playoffs. He knows League One, a bit of experience in League One, so that could be a very good appointment.
I think. Well, I don't know. I think Chris Wilder leaving is obviously a massive loss, and it's whether they can continue to rise up the division, whether they can do well in League One.
They'll do it in the Burton Albion sort of mold. Just sort of keep the just keep the whole style going, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think Daryl Clark as well with Bristol Rovers, fantastic job he's done. I think he's definitely staying. I know Leeds are interested in him, but I think I think he's used his head rather than his heart. I mean, when as far as Leeds United comes knocking, I mean, regardless of what's going on behind the scenes, you would just sort of get swamped up in the moment and you'd grab it with both hands. But I think he's really thought about it long term. He's done a great job at Bristol Rovers to keep his success going. If he goes to Leeds, not only could he only face the prospect of managing just a game or two, but he could also manage his reputation as a whole, because he could not find a job that easily again. So I think he's used very common sense to have a go in League One with Bristol Rovers.
Uh-huh. All right. The other clubs going up, Oxford United, Bristol Rovers automatically up, and then, obviously Wimbledon winning the playoffs. Who do you think will have the best season in League One?
I think out of all of them, I think I'll probably say Oxford. I think with Northampton losing the manager, we don't know how that could go. But I think Oxford, Michael Atherton, obviously he's got experience in the Championship and League One. I think they're in a very good place. I think Oxford would be my pick to do the best out of all of them, especially they can keep hold of Keemar Roof.
Yeah, he's been great for them all season. I know he was. He's been nominated in our poll for the for Player of the Season. We'll come to that later. But, yeah, he's had an incredible season. Portsmouth as well. Portsmouth were a club we thought maybe they'd go up, but only got playoffs and didn't. Well, they got knocked out in the semi-final as well.
With Portsmouth, I mean, it's just a demonstration that nothing's guaranteed. I mean, you see when you see big clubs get relegated down the leagues that you think, oh, they'll smash that division. Getting out of leagues is not as easy as it seems. I mean, Portsmouth, you see it in non-league when Luton have dropped out, it took them quite a few years to back up. And when I was sort of Leeds and Nottingham Forest, and they dropped into League One, they didn't just come straight away of asking. Southampton didn't come straight back up of asking. And now we're seeing it in League Two, if Portsmouth are dropping into League Two, it's not that straightforward of coming back up. It's difficult. And I say they've lost a very good Plymouth side in the playoffs, and they have to go again next year. I mean, they'll keep up with their manager, Paul Cook. Mm-hmm. And I think if he can again sort of strengthen the squad, that it's give them that chance again of next season.
Yeah,
as I say, it's not all guaranteed. I mean, it's just these teams that I think a lot of these supporters, a lot of these people just expect the size of the club to get promoted, but it's just not that straightforward.
Yeah, Paul Cook said he wanted to stay at the club, so yeah, I guess he's open. So well, he hopes to stay at the club. I guess it's when you look at it though, it's disappointment for three of the four teams in the playoffs. You know, with Plymouth as well, Plymouth were challenging Northampton at one point. Portsmouth, we've said, and then you've got Accrington also missed out on automatic promotion on the last day. Which, you know, I guess Wimbledon were the only team in the playoffs not by disappointment.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think you've sort of hit the win. It's been we saw Barnsley come sixth, get promoted. We saw Wimbledon come seventh. To get promoted, and we saw Sheffield Wednesday come sixth and get to the final and lose in the final. So I think that theory's sort of been completely backed up this year. So Championship, Brighton disappointed to miss out on not getting promoted. Hull and Derby, Hull obviously. Wednesday buzzing to come sixth and get to the final. Then we saw Barnsley buzzing to get the playoffs, coming sixth and going all over. predictable, so disappointing not to miss out on him. So seeing it lead to this year, Wimbledon, Basden's being the plus and go up all the way, because obviously Akron, St. Plymouth and Portsmouth disappointed to actually be in the plus. So it's that theory is again sort of very, very, very valid again this year.
Do you think it's a sign that maybe the playoffs are a bit unfair, or?
Yes, there's no. I mean, obviously with Man City, it's easy for me to say with my team coming third, but I think it definitely does show that. But at the end of the day, we love the playoffs, and again, it proves that if you do come sixth, then I think there's that hint of being unfair, but then there's that hint of how good the playoffs are and how unpredictable they are.
Okay. Just a couple of other things I want to mention in League Two. Notts County, they've had a pretty miserable season, finishing 17th. Mark Cooper had that points target fiasco we laughed at on the show earlier in the season. He met the points target, but he decided to move to Forest Green Rovers anyway, who lost in the National League playoff final to Grimsby. So, yeah, the points target was irrelevant, really.
Yeah, I mean Notts County, I don't know what the point. I mean, my guess the points target could only be 50, probably. That's the thing. Given they ended on 51, 50 always seems to be that number that's talked about quite a lot. Stay up in the football league. Forest Green. I mean, they've clearly got a lot of money. They missed out on the plus, but I think a manager of Mark Cooper's size, if he can go in, he'll probably. He'll give them a good chance of coming up next year, winning the league. But. Yeah, I think he's clearly thought that would be a very better decision for him, going to a club of Forest Green with a lot of money to spend in that league, rather than sort of St. Notts County and clearly owners who are very quick to pressurise you on getting results.
Yeah, Mark Sheridan's coming in to Notts County from Oldham, so be interesting to see what he does next season. One final stat I just want to mention about League Two as well. Exeter City got 64 points this season, and it's three seasons in a row that they got 64 points. There's the start of the show.
There you go, and they're from almost 14th place finish for them, so very consistent. And I see Paul Tisdale every year just doing a great job, really, isn't he, with them?
He's the longest, I think he's the second longest serving manager in English football behind Arsene Wenger.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, they had a great FA Cup run, they had a nice trip to Anfield. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's sort of the club in the Burton Albion sort of mould, just very well run, and it's a nice football club.
Do you think there's a point target of 64 points for him to keep his job next season, or?
yeah, I mean, if they're not county owners there, then yeah.
Well, they only got 2 points in the last five games, so maybe they deliberately lost a few games to make sure. We'll move on. We did the 72 awards. So on Twitter, I set up a load of polls. Did some different 72 awards. So I'd like to announce some of the winners. So I guess the first award is manager of the season. You got any thoughts on who you would vote for?
Well, not being biased, because obviously he wasn't named the LMA manager of the year, but. Chris Hughton of Brighton, I know he didn't get us promoted, but given how bad we actually were last season, I know I've said it on the show many times. I mean, the season before last, I should say, when we had Hip here in charge, we were disgraceful bad. I mean, we only stayed up simply because there was three worst championship clubs somehow than us, in Wigan, Mill, and Blackpool. So to sort out that mess and over the summer and get a team together that was capable of producing. Standard of football we produced wasn't exceptional. And for missing out by two goals, given the difference with Burnley and Middlesbrough, it was just amazing. And as I say, I think he was absolutely rightfully named LMA manager of the year. That's why he gets my vote on this.
Well, Chris Hughton was second in the vote. He got 21% of the vote, along with Neil Warnock, who also got 21%. But the winner was the person who won the Football League Manager of the Year. Chris Wilder of Northampton.
I can't mock that.
It's hard to disagree with. Well, to be honest, Gary Caldwell was the other nominee we put on our shortlist, and I think if any of the four had won, it's difficult to argue with any of them. I think there's a case any of them you could make.
Absolutely. I mean, they've all done very well, but if Chris Wilder say to get to smash League Two in the way they did, and to with all the problems that were going on off the pitch, I think it's sort of very hard to disagree with that. So no problems with that, and I think it's a very well deserved award.
just not to a Brighton player, unfortunately. Brighton manager, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right, there's a match of the season. I don't think you want this one to go to Brighton. Well, especially when you think about the Brighton nominee. So the best game in the Football League this season, Middlesbrough versus Brighton, the 1-1 draw on the final day, was one of the nominees, along with Doncaster's shock 3-1 win against Wigan and the high goals in QPR beating Bolton 4-3, Carlisle and Cambridge playing out a 4-4 draw. So they were the nominees for the match of the season. Have you got any thoughts, any particular matches this season which stood out for you?
I thought the Brighton-Burnley game and the 2-2 draw at the Amex was a really, really good advert for the Championship. I thought that was a fantastic game. That was probably my favourite. That was probably the best equal game. Obviously not the best. Obviously what I've seen is we win 5-0. But I think that the best games I've seen this season, that was probably up there. But for neutral games I've just watched from the telly, can't quickly think here.
It's a difficult one. I was struggling to get
there. I've seen a few. Hard to think on the spot quickly. It was a Friday night game. I think it was Birmingham and Middlesbrough, the 2-1 draw between Birmingham and Middlesbrough. That was a very good game as well.
Okay. Our followers decided that their Carlisle 4-4 Cambridge game was the best game this season, that with 37% of the vote. Borough Brighton was second with 26%. Personally, I went for the Doncaster 3-1 Wigan. My vote went there, but yeah. Our followers disagreed, and that was the least popular of the nominees. So, yeah, Carlisle v Cambridge won that match of the season.
Fair enough, no. So, good on the play clubs.
Great game. Loads of goals, and yeah, difficult to disagree. All right, we'll move on to young player of the season. Young player of the season, I'll give you the nominees first. It was Ben Thompson of Millwall, Lewis Cook of Leeds, Moussa Dembélé of Fulham, and Adam Armstrong of Coventry.
Yeah, I think I voted on that. I've always liked Lewis Cook of Leeds, and you say he's been fantastic this season. He's had a great season. I think there's some other players that have stood out for me. I think, yeah, Moussa Dembélé again of Fulham, he's been very good up front with McCormack. Charlie Taylor of Leeds, I think, has been very good as well. There's a very good youngster at Wigan as well, I think. I can't remember the actual name, but
Max Power.
Yeah, sorry, him. Yeah, he's been very good.
He has. This one was a two-horse race, really. It was Lewis Cook, who is the runner-up in this award. But Adam Armstrong wins the Coventry striker on loan from Newcastle. He got 48% of the vote and won.
Yeah, I think it's a very well-deserved one. I mean, I was surprised Newcastle didn't actually recall it, to be honest. But I think, yeah, next season he'll play a big part in their Championship season under Rafa. As I say, I think I think they're already the favourites to win that championship next season as Newcastle, especially with Benitez there. I think yeah, he'll be a big part of that.
He scored 20 goals on loan at Coventry, and yeah, I can see him. I agree with you. I can see him being a big part of them, especially if different players leave. You know, some of the other strikers like Mitrovic and Cisse both leave, which could be likely. All right, move on to goal of the season. Some great goals to choose from here, but there was an absolute runaway winner. Do you want the nominees?
Yes, please.
It was Matias against Leeds, the Sheffield Wednesday player. You got Nick Blackburn against Hull, a great team goal, that one. You got Kemar Roofe, his goal for Oxford against Brentford. And finally, this was my choice personally, Jermaine Beckford scoring against Chesterfield.
Yeah, my one was probably... Well, it's not actually on there, but I quite like the one I saw at the live game was Jerry Scanlack's goal for Brighton against QPR. Absolutely thunderbolt. But out of all of them, I really like that Kemar Roofe one for Oxford.
Oh, yeah.
That was a lovely goal.
All great goals, but Matias against Leeds was the runaway winner. 83% of the vote. It also won goal of the season in the official Football League Awards, so...
That was a good goal.
There's an outstanding goal. Personally, I liked Beckford's, but... Yeah, I only got 3% of the vote. Our followers disagreed with me. move on to player of the season. The nominees, Bradley Dack of Gillingham, Alan Judge of Brentford, Andre Gray of Burnley, and Kemar Roofe again nominated for Oxford United.
So he's player of the year.
Player of the year.
Yeah, Bradley Dack, I mean, sort of screams to mind straight away for Gillingham. I thought he was exceptional. Kemar Roofe, yeah, of his goals. Andre Gray has played a major part of Burnley's. But yeah, I think Bradley Dack would get my vote out of all the slot.
Followers disagree with you. He only got 7% of the vote. Andre Gray was the runaway winner, 54% of the vote. Kemar Roof in second. Alan Judge third. So yeah, I guess Burnley have had a great season. He's been the standout.
He's had a great season. He's been their key player up front. I think he's a very good player. I think he'll do well in the Premier League. I can't really disagree.
Yeah. The final one, I thought was the most interesting award to give out. Asked the question, which club have been the biggest overachievers this season? Brighton were one of the four nominees. This is before before they were knocked out of the playoffs, this was decided. So Northampton Town, Burton Albion, Brighton Hove Albion, Accrington Stanley were the four I put forward.
Well, I think if you go in terms of budgets and money spent, I think Accrington have to be runaway winners with that. I mean,
yeah,
given coming fourth with the second to worst budget in the league, I mean, you have to get to Accrington, but then you're going to give it on achievements. And I think Northampton, the way it's rashly lead two to bits, it's fantastic. And obviously, you give Brighton the most improved team. You could sort of say Brighton are, given how bad they were last season, given how well they did this season. But yeah, I think Accrington would get my vote any day of the week there.
Well, it was really close between all four of the clubs, but Burton just about edged out Accrington, Stanley, Northampton to win it. So yeah, but no, it was the closest one of all. But yeah, so just to summarise the winners. Chris Wilder of Northampton, winning manager of the season. Carlisle, Fall, Cambridge, match of the season. Burton Albion being the biggest overachievers. Adam Armstrong, young player. Andre Gray being player of the season. And Marco Matias versus Leeds getting goal of the season. So yeah, I think we've reached the end of the show and the end of this series, unless there's anything else you'd like to mention or talk about.
No, just a big thank you to yourself for organising this fantastic show. And hopefully we can look forward to... I guess we'll probably do one before the season starts. So
yeah, we're
already looking forward to it.
Yeah, looking forward to next season. I just want to say, just quickly, I've written a list here. Everyone who's contributed to this series: Adam Virgo, Mark Beer, Vince Hillier, Barry Hales, the All Things Football Podcast, Andy Cook, Ross Milton, Sam Rentz, Ashley Carter of the Sean Barker documentary, Guardian writer Richard Foster, as well as our guest, our panel that come on every week. We've got obviously yourself, Nick Davey. We've had Josh Green on. We've had Ollie Inwoods. We've had Shane Lees. We've had Matty Roper, and we've had.
No, it's been a privilege to be on.
It's been a fantastic season. I've really enjoyed hosting, and yeah, as I say, thank you to everyone who's come on. Just one final thing I need to mention. We had a competition announced last week for Richard Foster's book on the playoff history. That was won by Crimey from the V2 Forum. I just want to say that more than half the entries were correct. So if yours was correct that you didn't win, I'm sorry. But thanks to everyone who took part, and well done if you did predict them correctly. It's just a lot of others did as well. But congratulations to Crimey. We'll get in contact with you and we'll get you this book. But yeah, thanks to everyone for entering. Thanks for listening to the show, anyone who's listened over the course of this series. We'll be back next season, hopefully, for another season of the 72 show. It's good night from me, and good night from Nick Davey.
Good night.